Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Saturday, July 18th, 2026. Hope you all are doing well as we kick off the weekend. Obviously, this is an impromptu, unscheduled Saturday show. Usually, we're just live Monday through Friday, which that schedule will remain. Speaking of scheduling, though, no watch party tonight. We might have one tomorrow night, but I did want to come on here and talk a little bit about yesterday's loss, which was incredibly frustrating. I got to play in a moment here when we get into it. We're going to start with the Grisham stuff because few things this season have honestly pissed me off more than that did last night. That was, on many levels, unacceptable. And I'll tell you, both Grisham and Luis Rojas, the third base coach, are to blame there. But we're going to get into that in just a moment, and we're going to hear some sound from Grisham, which I'm a Grisham fan. I'm one of his like bigger supporters. His post-game interview last night was a bunch of BS. So we'll get into that. We'll probably actually also, too, at the end of the show, talk to the chat a little bit and chop things up because, yo, this is an unplanned Saturday show. So hope you all are doing well. It's a new day today. So while we're going to break everything down of last night's loss, which was ass, game two tonight, a little nervous about Ryan Weathers. But game two tonight, Weathers versus Emmett Sheehan. Yanks will look to bounce back. The good news is that the Rays got swept by Boston last night. So despite our loss, we definitely did gain a half game in the American League East. We enter play today, 2.5 back at Tampa, who will continue their series against the Red Sox. But anyways, let's get into this from last night. So obviously, Yanks lose 2-1. We'll touch on the Cole thing in a moment. But got to start here with Grisham. So he reaches base via the walk. Then Rice comes up, drives this one to right center field. So clearly going to be trouble off the bat. And doesn't end up going out. Thought for a second it could. Off the wall, good relay by the Dodgers, but for some reason, Trent Grisham is thrown out by a landslide at home plate. Now, at first, and we'll get to the replay in a moment, but at first when I was watching this, I saw how slow Grisham was going around third base, and I just assumed he wasn't being sent because it looked like he was slowing up. And, of course, he goes on to get thrown out by a lot. And that's one thing, too. The replay in terms of, or the relay, excuse me, in terms of getting the ball in, like, was very efficiently done by the Dodgers. It was quick. But the actual throw was not a good throw. And Grisham was still out by plenty. But nonetheless, I see him around in third base. And I just assumed, because of the lack of urgency that he had, that he was going to be held up. Obviously, he wasn't. He was sent. And then my immediate thought after was, did Grisham initially get a hold sign from Rojas and then a late minute last second, all right, no, go, go, go. That's what I was wondering, because how on earth did he not score on that play? How on earth was he not running? Well, you look at the replay, and here's where we get into two things are true. This is an awful read by Trent Grisham. Let me start here from the top because there's so much here to break down. So Rice smokes this ball. Absolutely smokes this ball. Let's just show this again one more time. It was so clear that this was going to be trouble in some capacity. Maybe it'd be gone, obviously end up not being. But Grisham with a terrible read. And by this point, his head is down. So here, he already clearly is. So look, looking at the ball, all right, it's going off the wall or it's off the wall at this point. Grisham, head down, he's running. Already not 100% urgency. Looks back again, which I'm not exactly sure why, because no matter what the deal is at that point, you know you're going to third base. And one may say, well, that's to see if he has a chance of scoring. At that point, it is strictly, are you sent by the third base coach or not? He's still looking back, goes to third, and you see right here, at this point, he's getting the sign from Rojas to go home, which Rojas I have an issue with as well, by the way. Grisham should not have been sent because this was only one out, and you would have had second and third with Paul Goldschmidt. I understand urgency, and the Yankees weren't scoring yesterday. But despite Goldschmidt's struggles lately, I do trust him to get the job done second and third, one out. And if he doesn't, that's on him. But Grisham here, let's just leave it to this. I mean, that is not going 100%, and he's still looking at the ball. I mean, I understand the initial look out to right center field, because that's obvious. That's just how it goes. But at this point, once you're going to third base, you are strictly looking at your third base coach if you're getting the send sign or not, he gets it. And at that point, you just book it home. You don't got to be looking no matter what you're sliding. And of course, we know he gets thrown out by a landslide. Here is, and yeah, he was obviously out. I mean, you could do what you want. But that
I mean, I saw it was a double off the wall, so I'm assuming go at all times. You picked him up okay, though?
Yeah, I picked him up great.
Did you feel like you hesitated at all coming around second?
No.
Sorry, I hit that button a little prematurely, but you guys get the idea. I wanted to play that Grisham soundbite because that was absurd to hear. And you guys know I don't like take negative little things and turn into some big negative story. I'm a Trent Grisham fan. The season's not over. Hoping the Yankees bounce back tonight. But I just want to come on here and talk about this. What the hell is he talking about? He said he got a good read on it. It's like, oh, okay. Although the replay shows you did not get a good read on this at all. He mentions how he was booking it. Did not seem like you were booking it. And that's one thing of this whole thing. I want to play it one more time just to hear it myself again. Grisham after last night, so then I can have my final thoughts on this.
I mean, I saw it was a double off the wall, so I'm assuming go at all times.
You picked him up okay, though?
Yeah, I picked him up great.
Did you feel like you hesitated at all coming around second?
No.
I love Trent Grisham. That's an annoying post-game interview. He's like, double off the wall, so I was assuming go for the jump. It's like, didn't look like it, brother. It really didn't look like you were assuming go from the jump. And side note here, that had the vibe that we hear a lot from the Judge era, the Boone era, which is no big deal, just is what it is. Like, I don't got to explain shit to you, which in the end is fine. Ultimately, like, if Grisham gave a good post-game sound bite last night, does that make him all of a sudden safe and we won that game? No. What matters is the fact of what the play was that he had to describe and answer questions about, which is that he was thrown at home. And why was he thrown at home? A big reason is because he did get a bad read rounding second base. It did not appear like he was going 100%. He said also he is keeping in mind, like, you know, the hamstring injury or whatever, which is fine. But he more so said, yeah, I keep it in mind, but, like, I was going 100%. It did not look like you were going 100%. Did not look like you got a good read rounding second base at all. So Grisham is 100%. Well, let me say it like this. Grisham certainly is at fault for what happened last night. Now, Luis Rojas also gets blame here as well, because while that is very much true, Grisham got a bad read. And when it comes to the hustling side of things, maybe he just thought he had more time. But nonetheless, especially because of the bad read, then that becomes Luis Rojas' job to recognize that and not send him to score. Because of the fact, especially, if there's two outs, 100%, we're not even talking about this on Rojas' side of things. But at that point, you see Grisham didn't get a good read. Yeah, that's his fault. That's his bad. But also, your job is to make sure you recognize that and don't send him home when you have Paul Goldschmidt, who I understand is struggling lately, but still, like, then that's Goldschmidt's problem if he doesn't get that run in with second and third, one out. So I don't understand what Grisham was doing, but I also don't understand why Luis Rojas would send him. That was a bad send. And ultimately, listen, there's other reasons as to why we lost that game last night, obviously. But out of all little moments like that, because there's baseball, and we'll get into Cole. I think Cole getting up the home run to Muncy, like, that's kind of just baseball. We'll talk about the Boone decision to keep him in, but that last night probably might be like the number one most frustrating individual play of this season so far for me. I'm sure I'm, you know, captivated by the moment a little bit here, but that was, excuse my French, I'm not even going to say it because people like when I don't curse in this morning show, which I respect. That was BS on Grisham's end. He's a main culprit here. Main culprit is Grisham. But Luis Rojas is not excused either. That was bad on all levels. The offense didn't do nothing against Roky Sasaki last night. I'll say, y'all, I mean, I think Sasaki actually did look good. It wasn't a situation, in my opinion, where guy has a 5 ERA, and then the Yankees, of course, because of that, just for some reason, do not hit him. Sasaki did look nasty last night. Still frustrating that we couldn't get anything going against him. Our one run was the Jason double. That was a good job by Jason. Yeah, the double, Aaron center field, advanced to third base, and then scored on the brutal pass ball by Dalton Rushing. But that was our only offense. And one might say that leads to why they sent him so aggressively, Rojas did, riding third base. I just don't align with that at all. I think that was a bad send, knowing that you had Goldschmidt on deck. And again, if Goldschmidt does not come through, there were second and third, I'm still pissed. But at least I can, like, go to sleep that night being just simply mad at the fact of a guy didn't come through. Like, that would be annoying, but that's baseball. If Goldschmidt did not get the job done there, which he very well might have or might not have, you can live with that because that's baseball. Speaking of that, I don't blame Boone whatsoever for leaving Cole in last night. And I don't want to always attribute every little thing that Boone does wrong that I may disagree with, which last night I didn't disagree with Gerrit Cole. And we were live in the watch party. I know that isn't tell the whole story of what the Yankee fan base is thinking. But from my understanding, from our group that we had, most people were saying, leave Cole in. Leave Cole in to get Muncy. And that was what we knew was going to happen with keeping him in. It was just to get Muncy. He ended up throwing 103 pitches. The at-bat did go long. And that 0-2 slider, yeah, he probably could have gotten, you know, the strikeout on that. He didn't. Muncy ends up going deep. But, of course, for those that maybe weren't watching along, prior to this, Boone goes out to the mound and never signals to the bullpen, talks to Cole, and decides to leave him in. I was hyped up when he did. I was in full support of the decision when he did. And this is just one of those things where it's like, all right, they decided to stick with their ace in Cole, and it didn't pay off. That's baseball. That is a decision that, all right, I disagree with the bullpen management by Aaron Boone, which I don't in this case, but if you do, like, that's something to where I'm not losing sleep over that. I lose sleep over the Grisham thing, the Luis Rojas send. Leaving in Gerrit Cole, who looked fantastic last night, by the way. That's a separate conversation here that is very encouraging. And that's just kind of like, all right, it didn't work out. It was a bad hanging slider to Muncy. Dodgers end up taking the lead. In the end, Cole goes 6 innings, 2 runs. Our offense didn't score nothing. And you had the Grisham play. A very frustrating loss, not because of that in itself. That just, that sucked. You know, here's Cole and Boone after last night. Then I do want to talk about how good Cole was last night from the majority of the game. But here's Cole and Boone after last night.
Garrett, where were you trying to go with that pitch to Muncy?
Down beneath the strike zone.
After the walk, when Booney comes out there, do you think he's taking you out? Are you in town fighting to stay in? And would you understand if he took out there?
I figured he was going to give me a conversation. That's what I figured I was going to get.
You still felt like you had enough in the tank there?
Yeah, I mean, he asked me to get Muncy, and I said, of course.
You know, obviously in hindsight, I probably should grab him there. You know, pitched so well. I felt like he was competitive back in the Mookie at bat, and I felt like he had enough to get Max and jumps out in front of him, but then got a mistake. So, you know, it's probably one I got Hedrick teed up there. That's probably on me. I should probably get him there.
And guess what, yo? Like, Hedrick could have came in and given that 2-run bomb as well. I mean, this is a tale as old as time. There's going to be moments where, how many times have we said, yo, leave this guy in, Boone, you're overmanaging, blah, 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 and it doesn't work out? Well, in the case of last night, if Cole gets taken out, Hedrick is with the 2-run bomb, well, people would be saying Boone's a fool for not leaving him in. Like, that's just how that rolls. I don't really get too upset about that, really, at all. Doesn't mean if you disagree with the decision, you're wrong. Not by any means. But, like, I disagree with Boone's lineups almost every single day. Not last night's. And I thought it was very telling that, again, yesterday, fresh reset, all-star break, second half, you know, all things equal, Cabrera was again at shortstop. And he made a great play in the eighth inning. Cabrera was the Yankees shortstop. And I anticipate he'll be there again tonight. Our lineup tonight probably should be, I would imagine, like the exact 1-9 that we had Friday night. But anyways, the Boone decision, if you disagree with it, like, fair enough, but I couldn't imagine, and I don't think too many people are doing this, but I could imagine being like, oh, that's on Boone. That's, you know, Yanks are never going to win because of Aaron Boone, all that crap, like, because of that decision leave calling last night. If that is where you're taking it, whatever. That's more of like a Yankees Twitter thing. Like, that's stupid. But nonetheless, I do want to talk about really quick, this is promising how good Cole was last night. Obviously the 2 runs, but still, 6 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, and he just looked sharp. And throughout the entire game, we were kind of saying as this was going on, like, yo, if Cole can complete this and put up a good inning, a good game against the Dodgers, which at the time of the through six, he was 6 shutout, it kind of felt, and it still does, very much so, which is why we're talking this right now, it felt like a, oh shit, we are here moment with Gerrit Cole, to where he goes 6 shutout against the Dodgers. In the end, 6 innings, 2 runs, which still a solid outing. But you look at this, and this feels kind of like, again, the we're here moment of post-TJ Cole is back. Doing this against the Dodgers and their lineup that did have Shohei Ohtani in it, Freddie Freeman, Max Muncy, probably shouldn't mention him, but Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, he got Freddie Freeman 3 times. Only, what, the couple hits ahead of time were before Muncy. I mean, what were the hits? There was really nothing doing that was too crazy. The Shohei ball, did think that was gone off the bat, ends up staying in. But in terms of like true damage done prior to the Muncy homer, there really wasn't much at all. And he had the 1 walk, but in the end, Gerrit Cole was probably the best he has all season long last night, and that's big. Come October, you'll go into a start, whether it be any sort of big game or just against the Dodgers, period. I mean, that'll be something we think back on, how good he looked against them last night. Sucks the way it finished, but I do take a positive from that. Gerrit Cole, that felt like a we're back moment to a degree. And I think the overall body of work now with Cole has been pretty solid, actually. I mean, you look at what now is 10 starts, ERA of 3.95. One would say it's been a mixed bag. I don't think that is really doing it justice, really. I would say Cole has been, I mean, that week where he faced the Guardians was not good. He had a bad start at home where he gave a couple home runs, and the start in Cleveland that was kind of just messy. You take out those two starts, no, you can't do. But for the most part, the only one that really stands out as not good was the Boston outing. We know he doesn't do well against Boston, which that's a problem, but that start was bad. Other than that, though, I mean, you look at the season debut against the Rays, that was 6 shutout. You look at what he did against Kansas City in the following start where he went 6 innings. I think it was like 1 runner shutout, 10 strikeouts, though. He pitched well last night, obviously. He pitched well against the Twins in his previous start. And then, before that, sandwiched in the middle of those two was the start against the Rays. That was a big-time outing. So if you want to look at the overall body of work, I think it's been a success. The command is getting better and better with some blemishes here and there. The stuff has looked, I mean, the fastball last night looked terrific. The velo has looked good all season long. But the location of the fastball last night was, I mean, he was painting. And you look at now a couple big games where there's been a few times where we've said to Cole, as fans, not to his face, but like I would say to him anyways, because it's a compliment, because he's our ace, OG ace, we need you here. Said that going to the Rays game. As far as I'm concerned, he did his job there. Against the Rays, he was solid. I think he pitched into the seventh inning, ended up giving, it may have been 3 runs by the time the game was over. That was very much still, and I guess we're back in that, I don't know, the offense struggling. But Cole was good against Tampa Bay. I think he did his job. Last night, even with the finish, he did his job. And those are two big games where we're like, yo, Cole, kind of looking to you here to set the tone. And on his end of things, that box was checked. So stuff-wise, health, which is the biggest thing. And now also just a few examples of turning to your ace and being like, kind of need you here, let's go. He's done his job in that regard too. So I would say 10 starts in, we're in a very good spot with the return of Gerrit Cole. We're obviously live right now, Saturday morning. It's 11:50. It is pouring rain out right now, and there's thunder. But nonetheless, that was a tough loss last night. That was a really, really tough loss. And ideally tonight, they'll be able to bounce back. Obviously, that would be ideal. I am very nervous about Ryan Weathers tonight. Not going to lie. And when we say, Dan, that's obvious. Well, I don't really ever think pessimistically. And I'm holding that hope the Yankees can win tonight. Of course they can win. And Emmett Sheehan is somebody that ideally they can do some damage off of him. We'll see. But with Weathers, I could kind of just see him getting rocked, to be honest with you. I'm never that guy to put bad vibes out there. And you guys know I'm an optimistic fan. And no, the season's not over. That whole thing. Don't ever group me with Yankees Twitter crap. Where we're all going to die and there's a big-ass meteor coming to kill us all. Sometimes that's how Yankee fans talk. It's absurd. I am nervous that Ryan Weathers could get his shit rocked tonight, to be honest with you. Ideally not. And he's had some good starts. What was his last outing? What did Ryan Weathers do? Did he pitch against... He was against the Nats, I believe, his last outing was. And I think he was good. Mixed bag would very much describe Weathers' season. 18 starts, now he has a 4.15. And no matter what, this trade has been a success, particularly because he was meant initially just to bridge the gap until Colin Rodon came back, and he did do that. Last start was against the Nationals. He went 5 1/3, 6 hits, 1 earned run. So he was good. He was good against the Nationals. His previous start was not against Tampa Bay. It was against the Twins. And he wasn't good. 4 runs over 4 innings. That was the Joe Ryan game. And that was a game where he was also throwing up a little bit. So, I mean, with Weathers, he had that stretch that was pretty bad where he was just giving up a million home runs every start. But you take out, I don't mean like that, but for every start he's been bad, he's also had a few good starts that followed. Even against the Twins, he had the four-run game in 4 innings, and then he goes against the Nationals, which is a pretty damn good offense. 5 1/3, 6 hits, 1 earned run. I am just admittedly, I guess my point here is, I'm nervous about tonight, Weathers against the Dodgers. Hopefully he can just keep us in the game. I mean, the main storyline besides just that, Weathers, don't get rocked. The main storyline would just be what can we do offensively against Emmett Sheehan, which he's not all that great. I mean, right-hander, 4-6 record, whatever, but a 4.81 ERA, does have 93 strikeouts and 82 1/3 innings pitched, 241 batting average against. Have we faced him before? I imagine we haven't, but did we face him last year? No, we did not. We did not face Emmett Sheehan in... I imagine we didn't face him in the World Series either, right? No, so we've never faced this kid. We've never faced Emmett Sheehan, unless we did in 2023. No. All right, so we've never faced him. This will be our first time at... first time facing him. And yeah, 4.81 ERA, most recent start for Sheehan. He pitched at Colorado, went six innings, five hits, two runs. Has been pitching pretty well lately. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Like, the Yankees offense just has to score. That's the storyline there. Set up nervous about Weathers. Some injury updates. Yo, the Judge thing, we didn't talk about this on the morning show because it wasn't out yet. I'm not going to pretend that that is like amazing news or nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But the news that was to be worried about yesterday was that we didn't hear that we would hear that there's no healing in Judge's rib. No, that's not what was told to us. What was told to us is that it is healing, just not enough to where he can begin lower body workouts. And Judge, at least maybe he's why I am so optimistic about this, but hearing Judge talk about it, he said he feels 10 times better than he did when the injury first happened. He was asked if he's coming back this season. He said definitely, like was definitively like, definitely I'm coming back. Why wouldn't I? And everything that we heard from Judge's end of things made me quite optimistic. And I think by the time we get to Labor Day, that's when we'll see him back in the lineup. And that's always been my line of demarcation. If he can get Judge back by Labor Day, like September 10th to 12th-ish area, give him a few weeks of at-bats for the postseason, ultimately, like, all things considered, that's going to be a W. So I look at yesterday's update with Aaron Judge as not a thing like, holy crap, the regular season is saved. But that was not bad news yesterday. Make no mistake, that was not bad news whatsoever. Especially when you hear Judge, what he said about, I'm feeling 10 times better. I'm definitely coming back this season. And yeah, that's where I stand with that. Freed through his rehab outing, about 50 pitches. Boonstad will need at least two rehab starts. And I guess that meant two in total at least. So like now it means at least one more. I anticipate it'll probably be at least two more if I were to guess. But he already is at 50 pitches. If he's at the next rehab game, which I think is going to be Wednesday, at like, I don't know, 70-something. By the next time he would be pitching, about, you know, 10 days from now, you're looking at like a 90 or so pitch. I mean, you might just see him, you might see Freed back like around the July, like 26th to 27th mark, honestly. So we might get, I think we might get Freed back before the end of July, as I guess what we're saying here. And that'd be pretty awesome. Some other injury updates. Rodon threw yesterday 10 pitches. Yankees aren't calling it a bullpen, but he did throw. He's not too far off as well. Clark Schmidt is going to throw a live BP today. He's nearing his return, relatively speaking, that is. Like, we're probably going to see Clark begin a rehab assignment at some point in the beginning of August. So, you know, we might be seeing him as expected, but now we're getting closer and closer to where it's, like, tangible. An early September return for Clark Schmidt is very much like on the horizon. George Lombard Jr. activated off the IL yesterday. Of course, had a little hand sprain. First game at AAA, back at AAA post IL, went deep. Some other injury updates. Giancarlo Stanton, I'm a Stanton fan. I always got to preface everything. I know I preface things a lot, but like I don't ever want to be grouped into certain sectors of Yankee fans that just talk a certain way that I think is just with no dignity, no pride, no nothing. Like it's the way some people talk. It's the way some people like talk that claim they're Yankee fans, it really just drives me crazy. So that's why I preface things so much when I say I want Caballero to be the starting shortstop, but I also don't think Anthony Volpe is the worst Yankee of all time. You know, got some in my eye. I'm getting choked up over it. But no, anyways, Giancarlo Stanton has started a running progression, they said. Still no timetable on when he could return. He's the one guy where it's really like, yo, I think he's coming back this season, but we really have no idea. But if you were to, it probably would be something in my eye. I don't know when it would be, but probably like end of August. Chat, let's pull you guys up though. Let's do a little Saturday morning live chat talking. We got like 140 people in here on this lovely Saturday. Yeah, obviously these shows, the Morning Yankee Show, we're live Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. But today I just wanted to come on here because also we're not going to be live tonight for the game. We might be live tomorrow night. Reminder, new schedule is Watch Party's series opener and then possibly another watch party per series as well, but they'll only ever at least be scheduled one watch party per series, and then Yankees recaps after every series, morning show, Monday through Friday. Yeah, yo, shout out to Morg in the chat. Let's do a little roll call. We got Morg, we got Seth, we got John, we got Paranormal, we got Pinstripe Report, we got Troll, we got Julia, we got Adam in the chat, we got Young Jay. What's going on here? What up, Carlos? But yeah, click like in the stream if you guys do not mind. It does help out a great deal. But yeah, what do you guys want to talk about for a little bit? We'll chop it up. Maybe, I don't know, like ask, I don't want to say ask questions because your thoughts are as good as mine, but whatever you're feeling, whatever you want to discuss, let's hear it. Dan, no one is giving credit to the bullpen. They have the second best ERA in MLB, but it doesn't feel like it. You're absolutely right. And I'm on two sides of this with the bullpen. It's one, the bullpen has been great. Two, we actually should compliment the Yankees a little bit on the fact of the bullpen has turned out way better than I ever expected that it would this season. And for example, Paul Blackburn truly has been great. And I was kind of not a Paul Blackburn hater, but the process of Paul Blackburn, I very much was like, yo, let's be honest here. He's not going to be the next Luke Weaver. I think he's kept touting him to be. And I still don't think he's of that ilk. But Paul Blackburn has like a low 2 ERA. Brent Hedrick has been one of the best relievers in baseball. Fernando Cruz, although he was already kind of a staple going into this year, he continues to be great. And great job by Cruz again last night, by the way. And the bullpen last night overall was great. Cruz, leadoff double to, I forget whoever it was, and then you had a runner on second, nobody out. He had to navigate through Otani. Who was it? Otani, Paez, Freeman with a runner on second, nobody out, and he did. Anyways, Cruz has been great. Bednar has been great. The Yankees continue to be able to turn nothing into something with relievers. I do think almost to a fault, though, they know how good they are at that, and that's why they were so comfortable running it back with the bullpen or just not really upgrading it this past winter. And I do think still this bullpen is not good enough to win a World Series. Like, there's not enough depth to it. Like, I don't like the idea of, at times, to get out of a jam, your first man being Paul Blackburn. Like, I think the bullpen, if it were at a spot where Paul Blackburn's like, you're not your last guy in the bullpen per se, but like second to last, then we're in a good spot. Then it can be a World Series caliber bullpen. We need more options like Fernando Cruz, because one, you're assuming, I don't say they're assuming because the deadline hasn't passed yet, but like if they weren't to upgrade this bullpen and ride with this, which they're going to, but you need more options like Cruz, because one, somebody could get hurt. Two, guys are pitching well right now. There's times where Fernando Cruz like doesn't have it at all, and you got to have multiple options to be able to get you out of jams via the strikeout. You need more velocity in the bullpen. For what it is, though, for what they did do, which is run back the bullpen, I mean, it's worked out great. It's worked out great. The depth of it, though, is still something to where, like, I want more. I want more, because it's not about the bullpen being good enough. And bullpen ERA, by the way, is very tough to really talk about as, like, the main reason why a bullpen is good or not, per se. But we've been watching every single day. Like, we know how surprisingly solid they've been. I don't know if Mason Miller is actually going to happen. I shouldn't even talk it like that. I don't even know if that's a possibility, I should say. If it is, though, I really want the Yankees to possibly make an offer that would blow San Diego out of the water. Because if you could get Mason Miller with our postseason rotation, I mean, then we're talking about a team that I could legitimately be like, yo, I don't care what anybody says. This team not only has a chance to win the World Series, but like they borderline would be favorites to overcome. I don't want to say favorites, so the Dodgers probably will be favorites no matter what, but like legitimate favorites, not just because the AL this week. If they were to get somebody like Mason Miller or some sort of deal that completes his back into the bullpen, which I don't know the obvious ones out there that aren't like Mason Miller. We did our trade deadline preview yesterday, and like there's Antonio Centezella from the Rockies. I like Yiner Cano from the Orioles. That is a possibility because he might get traded. And the Yankees and Orioles have made a trade, of course, Zach Britton a few years ago. So that's not like impossible just because it's the division rival. Like that could happen if the Yankees make the best offer for Cano. But in terms of like hardcore needle movers, you need like multiple guys of that ilk, or just get me Mason Miller. And the package that I propose for Mason Miller, some are saying like it's actually a pretty decent trade proposal by you. Thank you. Some are saying like no way I would do that. I've had Padres fans be like, if we're truly out of it, I would accept that trade package. And the trade package that I offered is not Lombard, because I want to be realistic with that. I don't think the Yankees would offer Lombard. My trade package was, again, I keep prefacing by saying like sit down, but whatever. LeGrande, Warren, Jason, and Elmer Rodriguez. Massive package for 3 years of Mason Miller. And if that were to lean on one end of the pendulum, yeah, I think that definitely does lean more so towards that's a big offer. But I don't like ever being that fan that says, you know, Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar for Mason Miller type vibes. Like, if I'm going to lean on one side, it's going to be overpaying because I'm not the GM, but like I want people to know like I'm serious when I talk about this. I'm not just being that guy. LeGrande, Jason Warren, and Elmer Rodriguez, that is a massive package. I understand that, but if you were to get Mason Miller, then all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, let's go. Otherwise, you guys know I'm all aboard the Ryan Jeffers train. Some keep saying like, I don't know if the Twins would actually be willing to trade him given that in the mix. That's a very fair thought and a fair concern. It does seem like when I read the Twin stuff and like talking to Plouffe that players like that, rentals like Jeffers that aren't part of their long-term plans would still be possibly guys that could get dealt. I want Luis Ariz really bad, really, really bad. But in the end, like we know, catcher, they're going to get a catcher of some sort. They're going to get some sort of reliever or two. I think they'll get, at the very least, one reliever. Ideally, it's two. We'll see who those guys are. But catcher, bullpen, and then like a deal like Ariz. Like that third box for me is always like overkill or like something like an extra bat or whatever it may be. And yeah. Dan, that loss is sticking with me more than usual. We better play tonight so I can turn the page. Paul, me too, dude. Me too. Last night's loss pissed me off, man. Really pissed me off. And again, if it were a thing where you had just, you stuck with Cole, you stuck with your ace, two-run shot, and that's that, I'd be pissed. Like, not even so much about that, but just the fact that like, the offense didn't score. Or if it were a thing where Grisham wasn't sent, or Grisham, you know, was busting it and he got, no matter what, given the bad read at second base, Grisham should not have been sent there. For those who are just joining, like, Grisham had a bad read, and he also, like, didn't seem to be going 100% for whatever reason, even though he claims he was. For that reason, though, also, Luis Rojas should not have sent them. They're both at fault. If it were a thing where second and third went out and Goldschmidt didn't get the job done, like, I'd be pissed, but I could at least, like, go to sleep, like, somewhat at peace, because it's like, all right, not to keep saying, like, that's baseball. Like, with Cole being left in too long, I don't even think he was, but in hindsight, clearly, like, you know, technically he was, but, like, that's kind of just baseball. Like, all right, you suck with your ace, and it costs you. You decide not to send Grisham. It's second and third. Paul Goldschmidt continues to struggle with one out, doesn't get the job done. Like, that'd be annoying, but I could, like, all right, like, that's just standard annoying. That's just part of the, comes with the territory. Last night, I'm with you, dude. Pissed me off. So I really hope they bounce back tonight. Obviously, I think that, or I hope that, but I'm nervous about Weathers. Do we really need relievers? Yovani can replace Duvall. Warner Weathers can replace Yarbrough. Well, that is a good point. I don't think, listen, if Yovani Cruz, we know how the Yankees feel about their ability to do something with the bullpen. If they truly believed in Yovani Cruz, he would be up here. And not that our opinion doesn't mean anything. Trust me, I've seen Yovani too, where the three outings he's been in, he's looked pretty damn good. It's just three outings, though. I mean, there's times where guys look great, and then you watch them over the long haul. Like, even Angel Trevihi, people put him into their long-term plans, which, fair, he's looked good. Trevihi's had a good five or six games. We see him over the next couple weeks. He might get rocked. We really don't know. Weathers and Warren to the bullpen, that definitely will help because obviously the four-man staff, they're not going to be involved in it coming to the postseason. Our rotation will be some order of Cam, Freed, Cole, Rodon. Warren and Weathers will go to the bullpen. That's going to help out a lot. But I do think we need to make sure we get at least a reliever in here because I think our bullpen, like, could it be good enough with those two in the bullpen? Maybe. But let's be honest here, yo. When you're watching this bullpen, despite what the bullpen ERA tells you, do you truly feel like it's a World Series caliber bullpen? Like, honestly, I don't think Paul Blackburn's a true, like, 2.2 ERA guy. I think he might be a good, solid, like, last man in the bullpen, a really good second to last man in the bullpen, like a true, like, 3.5 ERA type guy. Do we really believe Paul Blackburn's a 2.2? Brenton Hedrick, I do 100% believe in. And I believe in Cruz. I believe in all these guys, but it's like, what if one thing goes wrong? What if Paul Blackburn regresses? What if Cruz, he gets in one of those spells where he's all over the place and that happens to be the first week of October? You know, like, I don't want to leave this up to chance. Like, I really do want to shore up the bullpen, even though you're right. Like, our pen is technically in a good spot. Dan, I would focus on offense if I was Cashman. Our bullpen is good. Well, here's the thing, too. We got to remember, like, we can get relievers and we can get a bat. I mean, think of the deadline last year. What did the Yankees do? They got three relievers. Really, only one of them worked out, but just talking quantity and positions that we acquired, they got three relievers. And if I were to come on here and be like, get three relievers, people would say, well, damn, we also need a shortstop, we need a third baseman. The Yankees last year also did get a shortstop and a third baseman. One thing about Cashman, it remains to be seen what kind of players he'll get that we'll actually like, But in terms of quantity, he's made big deadlines before. Like last year was what, a 5-player deadline. You had Bednar, Duvall, Bird, McMahon, Caballero, 5-player deadline. Two out of those five were good trades in hindsight. Bednar and Caballero. Duvall, I looked at the time, but that obviously hasn't worked out. McMahon, I'm not going to call that a good trade because the money he's making is crazy, but I'm a fan of McMahon, and right now I'm chilling with him. He had a nice piece of hitting yesterday, too. But nonetheless, 5-player deadline. You go back to 2022, not a good deadline. In large part because Frankie Montas, they acquired him hurt, and they kind of knew he had shoulder issues. But that was like, what, a 5-player deadline. You had Frankie Montas, Andrew Benintendi, Lou Trevino, Scott F. Ross, and Harrison Bader, 5-player deadline. You go to 2021, Rizzo, Gallo, trying to think who else we acquired. I think we may have acquired like a reliever or two. At the very least, I was like, I think a 3-player deadline, maybe a 4. But like, or 2017, they acquired David Robertson, Tommy Canley, Todd Frazier, Jaime Garcia, and Sonny Gray, 5-player deadline. So you look at the players that they're going to acquire, we'll see if they're actually players that we like, but anticipate that the Yankees will make a quantity of moves. Like, there'll be multiple players acquired this deadline. Who will those players be is more so the question, in my opinion. I think catcher is, even if you're a negative Yankee fan, you assume they're going to get some sort of a catcher. The negative is it would be, all right, it's not going to be Jeffers, it's not going to be whoever, it's going to be like Jonah Heim or Kyle Higashioka. That wouldn't be ideal. I really am set on Jeffers. Now, if they can get Shea Langeliers, that'd be awesome. And that is a possibility because he's a Boris client and he's not going to sign an extension. And he has a lot of value. The A's wanted to capitalize. Hunter Goodman, I know the Yankees made a call yesterday, but I was never concerned about the Yankees' lack of interest with Goodman. It's more so with the Rockies actually willing to deal him. So I still don't think Hunter Goodman's going to happen. But it's going to be very interesting. Andrew Heaney, yeah. There you go. Yep. What up, Nick? Adley, I don't think Yanks will get Adley, no. I don't know if Adley actually will get traded or not this deadline. I could see him getting traded in the offseason or next deadline. Tyler Stevenson, he doesn't really move the needle for me. Maybe out of the tier of, like, the Higgy, Jonah Heim tier, Tyler Stevenson would move the most out of those. You guys know where I roll. Like, I'm so set on Ryan Jeffers that, like, unless it's Hunter Goodman instead or, like, Shea Langeliers instead, obviously those two I take over Jeffers, but if it's like not Jeffers and somebody less, I'll be pretty bummed out. And like I would be bummed out if it's Tyler Stevenson. But say we get Tyler Stevenson, then we also get like Mason Miller and Luis Arraez, like that changes it, you know? Dan, can we win tonight? Of course we can win tonight, Tucker. That's the plan. Someone asking, what is the plan for Clark Schmidt? He'll begin a rehab assignment soon. He's throwing a live bullpen today. Clark Schmidt, you'll probably see make at least like five rehab starts throughout the month of August. And then he'll be back early in September, barring any setbacks. Trade for Lindor, that's just not going to happen, to be honest. What day do Yankees get their first major trade piece this season? You know what? Screw it. I'll say by July. I don't know, though, because I was going to say July 25th. It might be a late deadline for things to really get going here because teams like think that they're in it. Like the Twins may not trade Jeffers until August 3rd. Like the day of. I'll say first date, July 27th, July 28th. But yeah, Joel Sherman. What did Joel Sherman say? Dan, what does the return for Jeffers look like as opposed to Hunter Goodman? What prospects will you part with? Honestly, Jeffers, the return will be so light that like I'm not even sweating it. But, let me see. What did Joel Sherman say? Did he say anything interesting? That was a article. And he was, I guess this new Joel Sherman article is about how Cashman's made a lot of trades. Would I move Jazz? I would move Jazz if Luis Arraez was brought in. Maybe the Padres would be interested in him. But trading him would be probably tough to do because what team really wants like a half a year rental of a second baseman? That's contending that, I mean, the Padres might be the only option. Sherman just talking clues from Cashman's past. Yeah, that's probably a good article. How you doing, Mark? Anyways, Hyper says, I think the Yankees make a trade by next week. Hopefully, I mean, we're there. Bring back Luke Weaver. I'd be so down. I just don't think that's going to happen. The Mets probably would trade him, I don't know if the Yankees would be down to give up assets for a contract they could have just signed in the wintertime. You know what I mean? I would definitely be down to bring Luke Weaver back. There's also Brooks Raley is interesting from the Mets. I would like to try to maybe get him. Cashman is knee-deep in the bargain bin as we speak. Not sure why anyone would think he's going to make a big move. Well, Cashman makes a lot of big moves, Rezac. That's just you being negative. That's just you being negative in the bargain bin. I mean, bargain bin deals can also be great. Caballero was technically a bargain bin. What about David Bednar last year? I mean, what are we doing here? Juan Soto, like, is that bargain bin too? Like, Cashman made that trade? Like, nah. Any thoughts on a Glaber reunion? I'd rather have Jazz and Glaber. The one difference I'll give Glaber, Glaber would fuck up just as much as Jazz, except Glaber would be like in tears in the postgame over it because he felt so bad. Jazz will just like touch up his earring while he says like, oh, that's how that works. Might not be a game tonight. Yeah, maybe not. We'll see. Anyways, I think that'll probably wrap up this Saturday show, chat. Good talking to you guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Got to move past last night, and that's why we did this show, because that was a frustrating game. Again, I blame Grisham. I blame Rojas. I don't blame Boone. I don't really blame Cole. I don't blame Cole at all. It's like last night we didn't hit. Offense has to start scoring again. We'll see what they do tonight against Emmett Sheehan. Hopefully Ryan Weathers doesn't get rocked. But as for last night, like I blame it on the obvious and like we weren't scoring. And also just specifically that play, Grisham, terrible read. Rojas has to recognize that was a terrible read and not send him there. And yeah, that's kind of where I stand on that. But yo, appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully there's a game tonight. If not, you know, we'll go from there. But as of right now, it is scheduled game 2, 8 o'clock on Fox. Ryan Weathers versus Emmett Sheehan. Yankees-Dodgers, game 2. Yanks looking to bounce back and even up the series. Until then, well, next time I see you guys will possibly be for a live stream on Sunday night. But until then, have a great Saturday. Stay dry. And, yeah, that'll do it. Let's go, Yanks.